Krishna Book, Canto 21, Odds and Ends, Chapter 89, Scene 2, The Conclusions. The sages thus concluded that by following the principles of Vaishnava Dharma, one becomes actually perfect. But if one follows all the religious principles of a particular sect and does not become advanced in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, then all such labor of love is fruitless. To execute religious principles means to come to the platform of perfect knowledge. If one comes to the platform of perfect knowledge, then he or she will be disinterested in material affairs. Perfect knowledge means to know one's own self and to know the Supreme Self. The Supreme Self and the individual self are one in quality, but they are different in quantity. This analytical understanding of knowledge is perfect. Simply to understand, I am not matter, I am spirit, is not perfect knowledge. The real religious principle is devotional service or bhakti. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, give up all other religious principles and simply surrender unto me. Therefore, the term dharma applies only to Vaishnava Dharma or Bhagavat Dharma, following which all other good qualities and advancements in life are automatically achieved. The highest perfectional knowledge is to know the Supreme Lord. Krishna cannot be understood by any process of religion other than devotional service. Therefore, the immediate result of perfect knowledge is achieved by executing devotional service. And after the attainment of knowledge, one becomes disinterested in the material world. This is not because of any dry philosophical speculation. The devotees become disinterested in the material world not simply because of theoretical understanding, but through practical experience. When a devotee realizes the effect of association with the Supreme Lord, he or she naturally hates the association of so-called society, friendship, and love. And this detachment is not dry, but is due to achieving a higher status of life by relishing transcendental mellows. It is further stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that after attainment of such knowledge and detachment from material sense gratification, one's advancement in the eight opulences attained by mystic yoga practice, namely anima, lagima, and prapti siddhis, etc., are also achieved without separate effort. The perfect example is Maharaja Ambarish. He was not a mystic yogi, but he was a great devotee. And yet, in a disagreement with Maharaja Ambarish, the great mystic Durvasa was defeated in the presence of Ambarish's devotional attitude. In other words, a devotee does not need to practice the mystic yoga system in order to achieve power. The power is behind one by the grace of Lord Krishna. Just as when a small child is surrendered to a powerful father, all the powers of the father are behind the child. When a person becomes famous as a devotee of Lord Krishna, one's reputation is never to be extinguished. Lord Chaitanya, when discoursing with Ramananda Roy, questioned, what is the greatest fame? Ramananda Roy replied that to be known as a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is the perfect fame. The conclusion, therefore, is that Vishnu Dharma, or the religion of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is meant for persons who are thoughtful. By proper utilization of thoughtfulness, one comes to the stage of thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes free from the contamination of the faulty association of this material world, and thus one becomes peaceful. The world is in a disturbed condition because of a scarcity of such peaceful devotees in human society. Unless one is a devotee, one cannot be equal to all living entities. A devotee is equally disposed towards the animals, human beings, and all living entities because he or she sees every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. In the Ishopanishad, it is clearly stated that one who has come to the stage of seeing all living beings equally does not hate anyone or favor anyone. The devotee does not hanker to possess more than one requires. Devotees are therefore akinchana, for in any condition of life, a devotee is satisfied. It is said that a devotee is even-minded whether one is in hell or in heaven. A devotee is callous to all subjects other than his or her engagement in devotional service. This mode of life is the highest perfectional stage from which one can be elevated to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. The devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are especially attracted by the highest material quality, goodness, and the qualified Brahmana is the symbolic representation of this goodness. Therefore, a devotee is attached to the Brahminical stage of life. The devotee is not very much interested in passion or ignorance, although these qualities also emanate from the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotees are described as Nipuna Buddhaya, which means that they are the most intelligent class of men. Uninfluenced by attachment or hatred, the devotee lives very peacefully and is not agitated by the influence of passion and ignorance. It may be questioned here why a devotee should be attached to the quality of goodness in this material world if he or she is transcendental to all material qualities. The answer is that there are different kinds of people existing within the modes of material nature. Those who are in the mode of ignorance are called rakshasas. Those in the mode of passion are called asuras. And those in the mode of goodness are called suras, or demigods. Under the direction of the Supreme Lord, these three classes of men are created by material nature. But those who are in the mode of goodness have a greater chance to be elevated to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. Thus, all the sages who assembled on the bank of the river Sarasvati to try to determine who is the supreme predominating deity, became freed from all doubts about Vishnu worship. All of them thereafter engaged in devotional service, and they thus achieved the desired result and went back to Godhead. Those who are actually anxious to be liberated from material entanglement would do better to accept at once the conclusion given by Sri Shukadeva Goswami in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said there that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is extremely conducive to liberation. The same fact is again confirmed by Sutta Goswami. If anyone who is traveling aimlessly within this material world cares to hear the nectarian words spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, certainly one will come to the right conclusion. Simply by discharging devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he or she will be able to stop the fatigue of migrating from one material body to another perpetually. In other words, by proper hearing, one will become fixed in loving devotional service to Lord Vishnu. He or she will certainly be able to get relief from this material journey of life. And the process is very simple. One has to give oral reception to the sweet words spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Another conclusion is that we should never consider the demigods, even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, to be on an equal level with Lord Vishnu. If we do this, then according to Padma Purana, we immediately become atheists. In the Vedic literature known as Harivamsa, it is also stated that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is to be worshipped. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or any such Vishnu mantra, is always to be chanted. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma himself says, both Lord Shiva and myself are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to act in different capacities under his direction. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is also stated that the only master is Krishna, and everyone in all categories of life are servants of Krishna only. Thus ends Chapter 89, Scene 2, The Conclusions. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. The following are notes on this section. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, at the time of this pastime, Bhrigu Muni had not yet become a pure Vaishnava. Otherwise, he would not have acted so rashly towards the Supreme Lord. For not only was Lord Vishnu taking rest, but he was lying with his head in his wife's lap. For Bhrigu to strike Krishna in this position, and not with his hand, but with his foot, was worse than any other offense Bhrigu could have imagined. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out three kinds of transcendentalists: munis, shantas, sadhus. These are, in order of increasing importance, persons who are striving for liberation, the munis, those who have attained liberation, shantas, and those who are engaged in pure devotional service to Lord Vishnu, sadhus.